20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome to the Sunday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Mark Echo. I'm joined by Gage Bridgeford, and we're going to preview today's Packers home game. The Packers finally get back home after two straight road games as they host the football team from Washington, and I'll never get used to saying that, Gage. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm never going to get used to saying it. There's just no – like, if they stick with this name long term, I will eventually get used to it. Okay. But until then, there's still podcasts that I hear with guys that have been around the industry for a long time that still call them by the old name. So, clearly it's going to take a while for everybody to catch up.
And this is going to be this was a game when the schedule came out. I looked at it and I said, it could be an interesting game. It could be a tough game. Washington's defense is very good. They have a great front four. They have Ryan Fitzpatrick, a quarterback, who's a veteran, been around, forever and ever and ever. I thought the Redskins made some good offseason. Oh, I said Redskins, didn't I? Washington made some good offseason acquisitions. I thought this was going to be a good game. I thought Washington was a pretty good team, but none of that has come to fruition for the football team. Fitzpatrick is hurt and he's out. The defense, which was pretty darn good a year ago and helped them to the playoffs, and they actually gave Tampa a pretty good game in that first round, has been dreadful. They don't stop anyone. They're bad against a run. You can throw on them. I mean, they just haven't. They do have 12 sacks, which is okay, I guess, in six games. But they're just—it's not the same Washington team that a lot of people thought they'd see this year.
Yeah, that has been a common talking point. Is this team is kind of underwhelmed, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and that's in large part that's due to kind of regression. If you look back at their games last year where they really went on a run to end the season, people were like, oh man, this Washington team's going to come in next year, they can really do something. But they did it against a lot of bad quarterbacks. They played a lot of backups and a lot of just below average guys, and that's kind of where they got their production. Their 12 sacks isn't even great this year. They're allowed, that's in the bottom half of the league, looks like about 20th or so, based off a quick glance that I'm seeing. They're allowing a quarterback rating over 104, and they're not the team everybody kind of thought they were going to be coming into this. And I had similar thoughts that you did when I saw this game on the schedule. I'm like, oh boy, that's not ideal, because that's, like you said, strong front four. They still have Jonathan Allen, Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Deron Payne. That's a good front group. Yeah. All four of those guys are first round picks. Yeah. Chase Young, second overall pick, Montez Sweat, late 20s guy, Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen, both mid-teens guys. Talented group across the front. They added William Jackson III, the corner, in the offseason to look like he could really help round out this group. And it hasn't happened yet. Fitzpatrick's hurt. And this team has been disjointed all year long. And I don't have the stats up in front of me at the moment, but I'm pretty sure they've only held – I don't know if they've held more than one team under – 20 points all year long. And for a team that we thought was going to be a top five defense, they are not living up to the billing.
No, and I think you're right. I think we did get a little fooled by the fact that they beat up bad. They're in the worst division in football, or like worst division last year, and it's close this year between the NFC East and the AFC South as to which is the worst. But you're right.
I think AFC South wins out there, but it's not like it's not a big win. It's you're still not great.
Right. Houston and Jacksonville to say that's I mean, they might win two games each this year, but they did last. I mean, going back to Washington from last year, they beat the Eagles twice with Carson Wentz, who was having an awful year, and then Jalen Hurts at the end of the year. They beat Daniel Jones twice, and I don't believe they faced Dak either time they played the Cowboys, right? So they faced backup quarter, Andy Dalton or whoever was in at the time for the Cowboys. That, like I said, the game that did impress me, though, was that playoff game against Tampa, where they kind of went toe-to-toe with Tampa until the end. Tampa kind of pulled away and won, but it was a good game. But anyway, the Packers this week, they have a real good chance to get to 6-1. And with all this team has gone through injury-wise and, the whole offseason drama, to be 6, if they win this and are sitting at 6-1 as they go in a short week to Arizona, you got to be pretty happy if you're a Packer fan or any member of the Packers organization.
Yeah, considering all of the injuries they've been through, and then what was not exactly the easiest schedule to start the year. I understand some people are going to say, oh, Green Bay had it easy, or teams are overrated. The Bengals are 4-2. Bengals are 4-2 right now. Green Bay took down Chicago, who was 3-2 when they played them. Chicago might be overachieving a little bit, but still knocked them off. Detroit looked good in the first half. New Orleans is 3-2, and I mean, again, possibly fraudulent 3-2, but they played well. And you played Pittsburgh, who 3-3 right now, and yeah, again, Pittsburgh's kind of regressed this year, but still quality defense. And Green Bay's doing that without stars all over the place. Zadarius has played sparingly in week one, hasn't played since. Jair's been out for the last, I believe, 2 weeks. And he left in the middle of the third, like 3 weeks ago. You've had just injuries all across the board. Dvok hasn't played this year. Elton has only played in, I think, 2 or 3 games. You just have all these injuries. And for Green Bay to come out 5-1, they're not scoring as efficiently as they were last year, and they have warts here and there. But it's if you think about it, it's like, hey, you're starting to get guys back and you're already 5-1. This is great. This is all you could have asked for. You got everybody that's been healthy and playing is held the line, and they're like, okay, now reinforcements are coming. Now is when things can really start rolling, and this team can really start putting some games together. And they have a late bye week this year, which they're like, sometimes that's a bad thing, but for a team like this that's been so beaten up, it'll be nice to say, hey, if we can get to the bye week in good shape, we can give you guys another week off, get you some late rest, and really make a push for the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. That bye week coming late, sometimes it's a blessing and other times it's a curse. But all the injuries, sometimes I wish they would have had one next week. But they do have a mini bye next week since they're playing Thursday. But it's not just injuries. Every team gets injuries. It's the NFL. It's a violent, physical game. Guys are going to get hurt. But it's the quality of guys that have been hurt for the Packers. Like you said, they're all pro, arguably best left tackle in the game, hasn't played a snap. You know, Elton Jenkins, who I think is their most valuable player, has been, in and out of the lineup. Now their rookie center, Josh Myers, who's been very good for a rookie, very, very good for a rookie. Just good for a player, but very good for a rookie. He's out this week. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, their number two wide receiver, has been out. I thought he might be coming back. It doesn't look like it. He's going to need at least another week. I mean, that's on offense. Defense, like you mentioned, Alexander, Zadarius.
King's still beat up. Darnell Savage has been in and out of the lineup.
Preston Smith now. So, yeah, I mean, so this week's injury report, Dennis Kelly, backup tackle, is out again. And Myers, the center, as we had said, with the knee, he's out. Preston, Kevin King, and Savage are all questionable. They all did partake in a limited capacity in practice on Friday, so there is hope that all three will be in the lineup today. We'll know, in a little bit when the inactives could come out. Now, this game, the Packers should win, right? I mean, they're home. Washington, as we pointed out, has not played well. What do they have to do, Gage, to beat this Washington team, other than show up?
To beat this Washington team, they need to come out and they need to play their brand of football. Their brand of football has been I'll call it sloppy, to put it nicely. I haven't been a super huge fan of the way Green Bay has played football this year. There's been just little things here and there that I haven't fully loved, but I think that they're getting better at doing the right things. And they just need to come out. Like, they need to the establish the run thing always sounds very cliche and an old school football guy. And I'm not meaning it in that way. I'm meaning it in when Green Bay is winning and they run the ball well. AJ Dillon's one of the top 10 running backs in rushing grade this year. That's great to see. Aaron Jones isn't even in the top 10, but he's still playing well. And he's still explosive. A.J. Dillon is running well when he gets carries. Those two guys can wear down defenses. You have Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams in the passing game, and they can do whatever they want against anybody. But I think that's how you can really take down this Washington defense, because they've struggled across the board this year at defending everything. They can't, like you said, they can't stop the run, which is crazy considering how good that front is. They can't stop the run. They are they're in the bottom half of the league in rushing DVOA. In passing DVOA, they're in bottom five. They're 28th in pass DVOA. This defense is not what you thought it was going to be. The offense doesn't scare me a ton with injuries across the board. Taylor Heineke, I believe, is still the quarterback for this week. That's true. I saw that article from Rob Domofsky at ESPN. If you guys haven't read it, go do so. Sammy Cosmi, their starting right tackle's out. Brandon Scherff, starting right guard, all pro right guard, out. Charles Leno Jr., who he's going to play. He was a non-injury. It was a rest thing. But he's going to play on the left side. But just this offense doesn't have enough weapons. Curtis Samuel's out. De'Ami Brown, they haven't gotten going yet this year. Antonio Gibson got a shin fracture, and they're going to continue to play him for some unknown reason. And then in most years, I'd be scared about J.D. McKissic. That's their pass-catching running back. With Devontae Campbell, I'm not that scared. He's number one overall in interior linebacker grade by Pro Football Focus, which isn't everything, but that's pretty great to see, considering inside linebacker has been kind of an issue for a long, long time.
There's been a hole in this defense since, Desmond Bishop, maybe?
And even Bishop was the issue with Bishop. He was never healthy. So So for me, the way Green Bay wins this game is they play their brand of football. Don't try and get out. Don't try and do stuff that you're like that's not your strength. Use the running game, set up the play action, hit your plays, find your spots, and just do what you do. Don't try that. When Green Bay struggles is when they're trying to do the deep shots. You got Aaron Rodgers trying to do too much. Take those checkdowns. Let your guys do it. That's how they win this game. Play your game, play your brand of football. If the deep shot's there, take it. But don't force things that don't need to be forced.
Yeah, and they've done that a few times. They did it a couple times last week. Aaron kind of gets a little. You know, I don't want greedy is the word I use, but he gets a little anxious maybe. And against his Washington's here's a stat that kind of tells you how bad things have gone. They've allowed 16 touchdown passes this year, and they only have 4 interceptions. So that's a big discrepancy there. That's not good. It's amazing because like we said, I thought this defense was better. I think the Packers will be able to move the ball consistently, both through the, you know, if they want to run or pass. But I was impressed. You brought up AJ Dillon, and he's ranked wherever in the top, you know, running style, whatever. What I loved about last week's game was when they got the ball back. The game was basically over. They stopped the Bears and they got the ball. There wasn't very much time left. And the Bears knew the Packers. Everybody in the world knew the Packers were going to run the ball and kill the clock. And they were able to do it. Dillon just ran at him. They got a couple first downs, and then they were taking a knee. You know, even very good Packer teams in the past, in that same situation, when everybody knew they were going to run, they sometimes didn't get the first down. They wind up having to punt and give the team the ball back with a minute to go or whatever. And it wouldn't have mattered in this one if they were up 2 scores. But I was impressed that they were able to just kill the clock out, and Dillon just pounded away at them. A good front, too. The Bears have a good front. So, yeah, I think the Packers should be able to run the ball with Dillon and Jones. I think Rodgers will have a nice game. Adams, I don't know who's going to cover Adams for Washington. They don't think they have anyone that can. I'm sure they'll double him, maybe triple him even, but then that'll open things up. I think the tight end, I think Robert Tonyan, who's been stat-wise, he's been kind of quiet this year. This might be his big game this week. What do you think?
I don't know. Tonyan has, like you said, he's been quiet this year compared to last year. I wouldn't be surprised if Tonyan doesn't have as many snaps in this game. He's really struggled to pass block. He's ranked last among all tight ends in pass blocking this year.
That's not what he does.
I know that's not what he does, but against these edge defenders in Sweat and Young, you kind of need to pay a little bit more attention to them. And with him struggling in the to block, you might have to see more snaps for Lewis. And big dog's played well when he's been out there.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a great blocker. He's still a fine receiver. Rodgers likes to use him as a check down guy. Rodgers, obviously, we've talked about, doesn't always take the check down when it's there. He's doing that more with Lewis on the field. I think Tonyan still sees the field, still gets his snaps here and there. In this particular matchup, I could see him struggling. Also, the Washington football team made a first round pick at linebacker this year on a guy who was probably the best defender against Kyle Pitts last season in the SEC.
Coming out of college, he's struggled. He's been a big part of why that defense hasn't played well. He's kind of struggling, as a lot of rookies in that situation would do. But he hasn't been what they thought he was going to be right now. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah. Right. So he could have a game. I think it's more this is the Devontae Adams plus the other receivers just kind of do their thing. Like you said, they don't really have anybody that can cover him. William Jackson III, that was their big offseason signing. Jackson was limited on Wednesday and Thursday and then did not even practice on Friday.
He may not play.
Yeah, he may not play, but if he does, I'm sure that he'll be the one that sees Adams the majority of the time. And Jackson just isn't – like, it's kind of hard to cover the best wide receiver in football, no matter if you're Jalen Ramsey or anybody else. But Jackson just can't really match up too well with Adams. And I think that it's one of those just Adams finishes the game with – 8, 9, 10 catches, 130 yards and a score, and that, and just the you sprinkle in everybody else, because that's what I see happening. Tonyan, I don't know what it is this year. I don't know if just Rodgers isn't looking for him, or just they're just not connecting as well as they were last year. But something just seems off there. I'm not sure what's going to fix it, but something.
Well, I think part of it is what you alluded to, that you're saying he's not a great blocker, and as like I said, that's not what he really. He's not known. That's not what he's made his name for. You know, he's not Mercedes Lewis. But I think he's been asked to block more this year because of the injuries across the offensive line. So that's part of. I think that's part of why his numbers are down. He hasn't dropped anything. I mean, it's not like they're throwing it to him and he's dropping it, or he's. I think it's his time. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But I think Rodgers would like to get him more involved as well. But here's Washington. You had mentioned points they've given up. Their opener, they weren't bad. Their opener, they looked like the team I thought they were going to be. They play a good Chargers team and lose 20-16. That's the kind of games I thought Washington would play most of the season. You know, tough defensive games, 20, you know, maybe win 20-16, lose 20, you know, be in that range. Then they gave up 29 points to a bad Giants team. They gave up 43 points, even though they won that game. They won because the Giants jumped off sides on a last second field goal attempt.
And it doesn't even, and if you go back and watch that clip, it looks like it wasn't an offsides. It looked like the defensive tackle just timed that play perfectly. Really? Like it looks like he moved right as the ball's going. Mm-hmm. It looked just like he just jumped it perfectly. Obviously, hindsight's 20/20 kind of thing. If you watch it live, it does look like he jumped, but there's a replay of the clip that it looks like he's just like the ball starts moving and he starts going.
Okay, so but they still give up 29 points to the Giants. And they give up 43 points to Buffalo. Now, Buffalo's good, but 43 points is a lot of points. Then they gave up 32 Atlanta, 33 to New Orleans, and 31 to Kansas City. So they've given up 30 points. Or 29 points or more in their last five games.
And that game against Kansas City was they were leading at one point, and then they just didn't score. They didn't score in the entire second half.
Yeah, they were up 13-10, 13-7, I think it was. Yeah.
Yep, they were up 13-7. They were up 13-10 heading into the half, and then they just did not score again after that.
Yeah. So again, the only thing, and I say this all the time when I talk about the Packers, because it's still the weakest part of the team. And I don't know if it'll ever get better. I thought it might, but I don't know. It's special teams. And Washington has a good return man in DeAndre Carter. He already has a 101-yard kickoff return for a touchdown this year. He's averaging 25.8 on kickoffs and 9.5 on punts. So, you know, the last thing the Packers need is a, you know, kick return for a touchdown against them, or even, you know, a long kick return that gives Washington the ball, you know, at midfield or in Green Bay territory. So, you know, kick the ball out of the end zone, Mason. Don't let this guy kill you. Because I think that's the biggest weapon Washington has going into this game. You know, because like you said, the offense. I like Heinicke. He's a tough kid. He plays hard, but he is what he is. Terry McLaren's a good wide receiver, but I think the Packers will find a way to take him out of the game, and they don't really have much else after that. Curtis Samuel's hurt. The run game, Gibson is playing with, like you said, playing with a fractured shin. So the Washington offense doesn't strike a lot of fear. But if you give them short fields because you can't tackle DeAndre Carter, then you're just making it a little bit harder on yourself.
Yeah, Washington second in terms of special teams DVOA behind only Baltimore, and they were first before last week, so they got knocked down, but they're still top two right now versus Green Bay all the way down at 27th. Green Bay did move up a spot, but still 47th compared to second is a pretty big discrepancy there. You're absolutely right, though. This special teams unit with DeAndre Carter back there as a return man is a very dangerous unit. And like you said, we always talk about Green Bay special teams, and I would much prefer to just not talk about their special teams at all because it gives me – I'm sure it has every Packer fan shaking in their boots when they're like, okay, just don't give up a big return here. Just don't. Just kick it out of the back of the end zone. Just let it go. Just don't let it return the ball. And then he returns the ball, and you're like, you know what? What did I expect? I should have expected the big return to happen because it always does. So you're right there. Just kick the ball away from him, kicking it out of the back of the end zone. Don't have to, and then you don't have to worry about that sort of thing. Other than that,
I love the punter. He's been great, right?
Bohorquez has been serviceable. That's all you need from him.
I think he's been better than that. But even last week though, he has a good punt, and the Bears get 14. And look, because the Packers thought he was going to call for a fair catch, and he didn't, and they wind up getting 14 yards. That's just he didn't raise his hand. He didn't say no. Hit him. You had six Packers around him watching him catch the ball and take off for it. I mean, they just do stupid stuff on special teams, too, sometimes.
Yeah, Green Bay ranks eighth in terms of punt DVOA this year. And for those that don't know, DVOA is a metric done by Football Outsiders. It's a very good measure of just how good or effective a team really is. And it's kind of what everyone wants Pro Football Focus to be. I just think they take their stuff to the next step and they just go a little bit further. So Green Bay is eighth in punt by punt grade this year, which is considering I don't know the last time Green Bay graded out that highly.
That's a pretty great. He's been punting. He puts a lot of them out of bounds. He had an 82-yard punt last week, for God's sake.
Yeah, and it just happened to roll into the end zone. I saw that punt. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I was watching it,
I was hoping it would only go 80 instead of 82, and it would have been dead at the 2-yard line. But
it was one of those moments where, as a pure football fan, you're like, that's what you want to see. But no one else in the room no one else in the room appreciates it. They're like, why are you freaking out? It's like, he's punting the ball 82 yards. That is a field flip right there. Yep, Even though it's a touchback, that touchback sucks. But he flipped the field because he's punting from like his own end zone, and he punted the ball the length of the field. That's incredible because that's a weapon. Even though it's a touchback, that's a huge weapon for you. So I agree. Bohorquez has been a breath of fresh air for this Green Bay team. And I'm glad to see that they just need to lock it in a little more to really kind of iron things out there. But this team should win. They should win. We talk a lot. Obviously, we're a little home biased. That's just how it's going to be here on the Pack-A-Day podcast. We're going to be Packer fans, Packer biased. But I think we've done a pretty good job of being realistic this year of setting the team's expectations of not being too high, not getting too far out of not being too greedy and not being too overzealous. Oh yeah, Green Bay is going to roll this team by 30. Like we did that in week one against the Saints. And I think since then we've kind of kept ourselves in check since then. And so, I think that this is a week that they got a good chance to win.
So you're the odds guy. So the line on this game has moved around a little bit. Right now it's at 8, I believe 7.5. What is it?
Yep. So depending on where you're looking at, it opened at 7.5 pretty much across the board. It's been kind of moved around a little bit. The look ahead line was actually 7.5. It opened at 7.5. Moved up at one point. It was at 10. 10.5 at a couple of spots. Right now it's settling between 8, 8.5, just depending on where you're betting at. The total is hovering at 47.5. It's opened at 50, and then it has been bet down at 47.5 is pretty much all you're going to find at pretty much any sports book that you're looking at. And 47.5 is that's about where Green Bay's been finishing this year. They've been finishing a lot of games 27-20, 27-17. So between the 40 and 47 range is where a lot of Green Bay's totals have been finishing. The eight line is a little high for me. Green Bay just doesn't tend to blow teams out. They've covered a lot this year. I believe they're 5-1 against the spread. Yeah. Their only game where they didn't cover, where they failed to cover, was week one, obviously, where they got blown out by 35 and failed to score a touchdown. But we were pretty close last week, Mark, in terms of the spread. You had the Packers getting a late score to cover. I had Green Bay, or I had Chicago getting a late score to cover. So I missed on that one. But it's okay because Green Bay won no matter what. Ultimately, I'm going to peg for this game to be another Green Bay win. And I'm going to also peg for it to not be a Green Bay cover. I'm pegging Washington to cover here. This Green Bay team doesn't blow anybody out. They like to take care of the ball. They like to have low totals. I'm going to go with a final score of 27-20. I think that Washington just either Green Bay gets a late field goal to push it to 27, something like that. But I just don't see this Washington team being able to keep pace offensively. I don't think their defense doesn't scare me enough because Rodgers is not a backup quarterback. He's not Nate Sudfeld. He's the legitimate NFL quarterback. So the defense doesn't scare me there. The offensive line, yeah, it kind of sucks to lose Josh Myers, but I think they have enough other guys to take care of that. And if you got to send a little extra help towards Lucas Patrick at center, so be it. But I'm taking Green Bay 27-20, which hits your under, and it's a Washington cover. And if Washington fails to cover and Green Bay wins, I will not be mad about it.
Yeah, I'm going to take – I think the Packers cover again this week. There's an old stat. I don't know if it's – I haven't kept up with it as much as I used to. But when a team's away two straight weeks and comes home, they're always a good bet. At least it used to be that way. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't kept track of it as close as I used to. It used to be like a 75% rate of teams that do that. You know, away 2 weeks, come home. And that's what Green Bay is this week. They're home after two straight road games. I just don't see – I see them scoring not at will, but I think they might hit 30 this week. I'm going to say 30 to 14. I think the Green Bay defense is getting a little better every week. They're facing a Washington offense that, like I said, doesn't – as long as the special teams doesn't screw up and give Washington really short fields, I don't see Washington putting up a whole lot of points. So I'm going 30-14, so I have Green Bay covering and the under slightly.
Yeah, you are cutting it close there on that under. Granted, I mean, I obviously was even closer, 27-20. I'm half a point under, but – they are I could see what I could see your score happening. This thing that scares me about this Green Bay team is they don't like to blow teams out, and they're okay with controlling the clock and having these fast games. Like I've noticed this year, while other outside of their overtime game against Cincinnati, their games don't last long. They run the ball, they milk the clock, and quarters go super fast. Like obviously there was the San Francisco game that went down to the wire, and that first quarter was over so fast. You're like, there was two possessions. Each team got one possession in the first quarter, and it's over. And that's just – it happened that quickly. And I think that's how Green Bay likes to play things. That's why they tend to fall under on these games, because they're not going super high scoring. Even in that game against Cincinnati, I'm pretty sure the final score of that game went under, even though it went to overtime. Rarely do you have a game go to overtime and it still go under, and I'm pretty sure Green Bay's Cincinnati game still did. But, yeah, so that's kind of what I'm thinking. I think we're both on the under, not necessarily betting it, but that's both kind of our projection here with predicted win and final score.
It's funny that you brought up the quickness of Packer games. Last week was the first time I had to go out to watch them, and I was at a little bar restaurant that takes care of me when I go to watch Packers. They give me my own little table. They put the Packers right in front of me. Nobody bothers me because they know I'm kind of working. And but I see there's other games on, and you know, normally I mean, I'm watching the Packers. I'll glance over at a score of the Carolina game or whatever other game's on. And the Packers game's over. Like you know, the Packers are like taking a knee, and I'm packing up my stuff, getting ready to go home. And I just look over at the Carolina Minnesota game, and it's late. There's like a minute to go in the third quarter. I'm like, wow, that game's taking forever. And I'm thinking, but then I'm like, oh no, that game's normal. The Packer game just went really fast because every other game that was the only game over. Every other game was still on you know, midway through the fourth, or like I said, that one was still in the third. So when I was like, wow, that was a quick game. That was an old-fashioned three-hour football game, which you don't get much of anymore.
Yeah, there's Green Bay likes to keep the clock moving. They don't tend to take a long time. They like to do it that way. They like to run the ball. They haven't been as explosive this year with MBS being out and just the offense kind of being a little disjointed, not necessarily being as in sync as they were last year. So that has resulted in longer games because the clock is running longer. So that's another thing that kind of points to why these games are tending to go so quickly for Green Bay. And I think that's what's going to happen when they want to win their winning games. They're taking their time to do it. They're like, okay, we're gonna go in here. We're gonna play our brand of football. Run the ball. Get out of here with a win.
No, you're right, and that's what matters, right? Who cares? Yep.
As long as you come out with a win, you can do whatever you can play however you want there, Matt LaFleur. That's I agree there.
So all right, so we both think the Packers win. It's a matter of by how much, and we think it's going to be a little lower scoring than the suggested number tells you. We'll be back next week. I don't know what we're going to be talking about next week because it's the game. We won't be previewing the game because the game's on Thursday, so we'll have to check with Andy to see what our topic will be next Sunday. I guess probably we'll look. Hopefully, the Packers will play two games by the time we're back on. So for Gage Britford, I'm Mark Eckel, and like we like to say here on Pack-A-Day Podcast, go Pack, go.